Well, hello. My name is Desiree Imondesir, and this is the Desiree Show, where we talk about the three L's: life, love, and leadership. I blog at DesireeImondesir.com, and I am the author of Otherworldly, an in-depth study of fantastical beings, which is only available at DesireeImondesir.com. So go check out the website, check out the resources, load up. You won't regret it, okay? Today's episode is our fourth episode of the Desiree Show, the first season, and we are going to be discussing the power in your mouth. We're going to talk about the power of words. We're going to talk about the power of words you speak, as well as words that are spoken to you and over you. So if you're going to be tweeting and posting about this particular episode or any of our episodes, please be sure to use the hashtag #TheDesireeShow, okay? So first, let's start off by talking about the nature of words. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall be my word that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Let me read that one more time. Okay. "So shall be my word that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Ladies and gentlemen, this is the very nature of words. This is not just words from God. This is not just prophetic words. This is not just words from the Bible. This is the nature of every word, every phrase, every prophecy, every blessing, every curse, every decree, and every declaration. This is the declaration of words. And while we can certainly include written words, we're going to be speaking about spoken words, no pun intended, because we're discussing the power in your mouth, okay? So everything we're talking about today is going to be primarily dealing with words that are spoken by you or to you. Doesn't matter the source, okay? Any words, we're going to be discussing those. Why? Because the spirit realm is not moved by your thoughts. I had to tell somebody this recently, because we see this catchphrase a lot of times, especially in social media and especially in times of tragedy. You know, right now, we're dealing with the passing of one of the NBA greats, you know, one of the greatest, Kobe Bryant. His beautiful baby girl, Gianna, who is just 13 years old, you know, their fellow coaches and friends and parents, you know, 9 people plus the pilot just passed away, you know. And so it's a lot of times you see people saying, "Oh, we're sending our thoughts," but your thoughts don't help anybody. You know, we like to say, "Oh, it's the thought that counts." And I'm not saying that's completely untrue, but you can't send your thought to somebody. Okay, we don't have telekinesis, we don't do ESP, okay, like, we send words. Words are what the spirit realm and in turn the natural realm respond to, not our thoughts. Our thoughts inform our words, as we will break down later, but our thoughts do not do anything to the spirit realm. Our thoughts are actually formed by the spirit realm. So it's not that our thoughts are not important, but it's not the same thing as actually speaking and sending words, okay? So, and just be praying for Vanessa Bryant, their girls, Bianca and Natalia and Capri, and all the Altobelli families and all the other families represented and affected. You know, of course, the Lakers team members, past, present, that whole organization. Really just anyone who is affected by this, close up and personal. You know, ladies, the men in your life, I've been checking on my men folks, okay? Making sure they're okay, especially within the Black community, because this is just, you know, a really big hit. You know, I was speaking to my brother last night, and he's the person you don't want to be around usually when a celebrity dies, because he's usually the one who doesn't care. And so I just thought I'd venture out and ask him how he's doing with all of this, you know, with all this news surrounding Kobe and Gianna's death. And he said it. He's like, typically, I just don't even care when celebrities die, but this one really hits. Maybe it's because we lived in California. I think it probably has something to do with the fact that he's a Black man. And he's a hero to a lot of us. So be kind. Be gracious. Give everyone, but especially our men, space to grieve. It's okay. They are probably not going to grieve like you do, ladies. It's fine. Don't make them feel less than or like they have to rush through it. Let them feel it. Okay? Let them feel it. And let them process it. Maybe one day we'll bring somebody on to talk about grief. But today is not that day. But I do want to talk about the power of words, okay? So yeah, just be praying for the Bryant family and the Altobellis and all the other families represented. And Shaq. Definitely Shaq, okay? And just all of their loved ones. Okay, so we're moving on. So we're talking about the nature of words. So shall be my word that goes forth from my mouth. It's going to prosper, succeed in the thing for which I sent it. It's going to be successful. It's going to fulfill its purpose and its mission. What is an example of this in scripture? One of my favorite verses, Psalm 107, verse 20. And this is talking about Jesus. And he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. When I worked as a prayer partner for Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association several years ago, actually about a decade ago, you know, this is one of my favorites because we're answering prayers over the phone, you know? And so there's no distance in prayer because words can travel distances that our feet cannot. Okay, so there is no distance. Jesus sent the word. He was the word, but he sent the word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The nature of words is to fulfill a mission. Every word, phrase, declaration, and pronouncement has a purpose. And while motives and intents of the heart do matter, all words are spoken, all words spoken are arrows seeking a target. Words are neutral tools that can be used for good or bad, okay? So you can use words to bless somebody and to curse someone. You can use words to make somebody feel good and make somebody feel bad. You can use words to build somebody up and use words to tear somebody down. And unfortunately, we're guilty of both. At one point or another, I don't care how wonderful you are, how terrible you are, you know, we've used words for both. Okay, so how are you using your words? I want you to be thinking about that throughout today's episode. Next, we're talking about spirits and beliefs / thoughts and words, okay? Or should I say words lead to your beliefs and thoughts, which I'm doing this backwards. Okay, so your spirits lead to your beliefs and your thoughts, and your beliefs and your thoughts lead to words. There we go. I did it the right way. Words are weapons for defense or harm, but they are the end of a process and the beginning of another, which is a different conversation for a different day. They're the end. They are the result of your thoughts, and your thoughts came from somewhere else, okay? Your thoughts were informed by something else, okay? What you say, what you speak out of your mouth does not just happen, okay? It's like when someone gets mad and says something racist to their friend or their partner or, you know, whatever. Well, I didn't mean it. I was upset. Nah, boo-boo, you meant that. Okay, you were waiting to say that. Okay, when you get into an argument and somebody belittles you just completely unnecessarily, they were waiting to say that. That was in their spirit, okay? When somebody gets mad at you and you're having an argument or a discussion, you know, a heated fellowship, and they insult you and they hit you below the belt. Oh, they meant that. They were waiting to say that, okay? And so those words do not just happen, okay? They came from someplace. We mentioned last week, we talked a little bit about triggers in Harry, Meghan, Megxit, and Marriage Part 2, And we talked about how triggers are opportunities. They're opportunities to pause and examine, okay, where did this come from? You can apply that as well to when somebody says something really cutting to you that seemingly came out of nowhere, and especially for yourself. Ooh, where did that come from? Oop, I didn't mean to say that. Well, something in you wanted to, even if you weren't consciously preparing to say that, okay, and vice versa. So what you speak is influenced by what you think, and what you think is influenced by what is in your atmosphere. So now let's look and see what the Bible says about it. First, we're going to deal with spirits. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This isn't just, oh, I heard this one time. This means what you are hearing in the present and what you are continuously hearing. So it's in the present and the continuous present. It's in the past and it's in the present. So what you've been hearing and what you are hearing and what you go on hearing, okay? That is what shapes your faith. And fear is the exact same thing as faith. It's just working in an opposite direction. It's just working for a different kingdom, okay? It's kind of like a mercenary, okay? You can hire a mercenary to work for your army, or another, you know, army can hire a mercenary to work against your army. Your words are mercenaries, okay? So what is in your atmosphere? What are you listening to? What spirits are speaking to you? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it an angelic spirit? Is it a human spirit? Is it your spirit? Is it a demonic, unclean spirit? There are a lot of spirits. Is it the TV? Is it the news? Is it Netflix? Okay. Is it your professor? Is it your boss? What are the words being spoken into your atmosphere that are, literally, I don't want to say literally as if spirit words aren't real, but you know, what are the people around you saying? And then what are the spirits in the atmosphere saying? What is hanging in that atmosphere, however it got there? That can most certainly and will, good or bad, affect what you are thinking, okay? What you hear, however you hear it, so you could hear it in the natural. You could hear it in the spirit. You could hear it in your soul, okay? What does that mean when you hear something in your soul? Somebody can say something to you, especially like if it's in a relationship or maybe if it's an authority figure or something like that. Someone can say something to you and you can hear it just completely differently than they intended for you to hear it. They weren't meaning to insult you, okay? But it triggered you a little bit and it took you back to something that you felt was similar, or perhaps maybe was a little bit similar sounding to what someone else said to you, but maybe they had a completely different intent. Maybe they didn't have the best vocabulary or the mental ability in that moment to utilize their vocabulary as they should have, you know? So sometimes your soul hears things differently. Sometimes your spirit hears things. Sometimes your spirit can hear something that somebody says and your spirit man will know they didn't mean that. They meant exactly the opposite of what they said. Emotional intelligence can tell you that in the natural as well as the soulish realm. The soulish isn't automatically bad. The soul is the seat of your mind, your will, and your emotions, okay? So all of these can work together and they can let you know, they can tell you something that's not true, okay? So that's like your filter, okay? So the Bible says, be careful how you hear. Jesus said that. Don't just be careful what you hear, be careful how you hear, because how you hear something can damage what you should have heard. It can prevent you from what you should have heard, okay? It can prevent you from receiving a criticism that you perhaps did not like, but that could actually help you in the long run, okay? Be careful how you hear. Because how you hear could cause you to start arguments with people that are completely unnecessary. How you hear can damage your self-esteem, okay? Be careful how you hear. Be careful what is in your atmosphere. If you don't like what's in your atmosphere, change it, okay? Dr. Randy McLean always says, well, I don't know if he always says it, but he's said before in the past that atmospheres remain the same unless somebody changes them. You don't like what's in your atmosphere, change it. You don't like the feeling of tension and strife, because strife is a portal, y'all. It's a demonic portal, okay? If you don't like, if there's some easy uneasiness in the atmosphere, then turn on some praise and worship. Then pray in the spirit. What do you need to do? You can speak some affirmations. You can release declarations and decrees with your mouth, okay? Again, we're emphasizing our spoken words. If you don't like it, change it, okay? So what you hear, however you hear it, and what spirits are in your atmosphere, human or supernatural, are what directly influence your thoughts. And now we're talking about beliefs and thoughts. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is. Okay, that'll preach right there by itself, those three words. Now faith is now. Okay, different subject. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? Your evidence, your belief system produces tangible evidence, materialized substance. This is literally manifesting or manifestation 101, okay? So what you put your faith in, what you believe consistently, that is what you will see unfold in your life, okay? This is if you are having faith in the kingdom of God and the word of God. This is if you are having faith in the kingdom of darkness and what it says, okay? So be mindful that your words produce substance. They produce evidences of what you believe. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I should have got the King James. That was the New King James. Sometimes there's just a little more power in the King James. Casting down every high thing, every vain imagination. It doesn't say casting down every thought. It means casting down every thought that is contradictory to the word of God. It doesn't mean that your imagination is bad. It only means that when you use your neutral imagination to imagine something that is bad, that is against the word of God for your life, then you need to deal with that. Then you need to put that in subjection to the word of God. Okay, that's what it means when it says punish all disobedience. You got to put your thought life in check, okay? Put your thoughts in check. Bring them in submission to the word of God. If you don't know what it says, read it. Read the Psalms. Read the Proverbs. See what God says to you. Read Jeremiah. Read Isaiah, okay? Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a woman thinks in her heart, so is he. You will become what you think. You will become what you dwell on. You will have what you say. As we just learned, faith is formed by what you hear and hear consistently. And your faith or your belief system is what manifests tangibly in your life. Strongholds are also neutral tools that can be holy or hellish. Apostle Brian Meadows, who is, by the way, the host of the Angry Pastor podcast, which you can find on Anchor or I believe iTunes or Spotify, anywhere there's podcasts you can listen to. He has an excellent sermon on YouTube called Be Open, and he presents a phenomenal illustration of how strongholds are built in your mind. It deals with spiritual strongmen and earthly strongmen that work in unison to create mental strongholds, okay? If there is a stronghold, then there is a strong man. A stronghold is built to house a spirit. See, I'm getting into a different subject. I encourage you to buy my book, The Little Book of Warfare, which is only available at DesireeAndMonastir.com, because I break all of that down in that book, okay? But in a nutshell, every sermon, every TED talk, every speech, every discourse, everything you sit and listen to is a brick, okay? And as you continue to listen, You are either building up a stronghold or tearing it down. So if you've built up a stronghold of low self-esteem and you shift and start listening to things that are positive, that are godly, that are holy, that build you up and encourage you, you are now removing bricks from a negative demonic stronghold, and vice versa, okay? Depending on what you're listening to. If you've been listening to good, holy, godly, wholesome things, you know, according to the things you're supposed to think on in Galatians, I forget where it is, but in the New Testament where it tells you, think on these things, okay, and then you switch and start listening to something that's demonic or, you know, produces low self-esteem, country music. Okay, and I love country music. I'm just kind of joking. But, you know, I lost my dog. I lost my TV. I lost my wife. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just YouTube Rascal Flatts backwards song, which is one of my favorites. Okay, I'm a Rascal Flatts fan. I want to see them in their final tour. I'm just sad that they are going separate ways, okay? But that is a good example, or any of your favorite country songs probably, of negative things happening, okay? And y'all think I'm playing Rascal Flatts Will Have Me Crying, okay? But that's a different subject for a different day. Moving on, we're talking about words now, okay? So we talked about spirits and atmospheres. We talked about beliefs and thoughts, or faith, you know, and now we're talking about words. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Again, words do not just come from anywhere. If you speak it, it was in your heart. Okay? How would you might say, well, I know it's in my heart. Do you? Jeremiah said otherwise. The heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Only God fully knows your heart. You can have a good idea of it, but there are some things in there that might still surprise you. Okay? Your words inform what you, your beliefs and your thoughts inform what you speak. And trust me, they produce. What you speak, you produce. What you produce, you live. You will have what you say. And y'all have probably heard the phrase, words create worlds. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are visible. Okay, now we're going to talk about agreement. John 13:30 says, the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. There was nothing in Jesus that was in agreement with Lucifer. Okay, Luke 17:6, and it reads, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Similarly, in Mark 11:23, it says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, that is the operative phrase, y'all, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So if you speak it and you believe it and you don't doubt, which would mean you believe it, it will surely come to pass, okay? Proverbs 26:2, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without a cause shall not alight. The King James says, a curse causeless shall not alight, okay? So if there's no cause, if there's no landing pad, so to speak, there will be no curse landing because there's nowhere for it to land, okay? Ecclesiastes 10:8, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh an hedge, shall a serpent shall bite him. The New King James says, who breaks a wall, okay? So it's the same thing, a wall, a hedge of protection. So if you put a hole in the hedge, something can get through, okay? You can allow an attack to come through because you opened a hole, okay? You opened a door in the spirit. You created a cause. You created a landing strip for something demonic or something unholy or something carnal to come through, okay? These are different ways of discussing agreement, okay? Words in and of themselves are powerful, yet agreement is the secret sauce. If you don't believe in words spoken by you or to you, that matters, okay? If you do believe in words spoken by you or to you, it really matters, okay? Really, really. So I'm not saying that it just doesn't matter if you don't believe the words at all, but it really, really, really does matter if you do believe the words, because if you do believe the words, that is your spirit and your soul coming into agreement with whatever was said, okay? If someone speaks evil, wicked words over you, that's not cool. And it does matter if it's a type of authority figure. However, if evil, wicked words are spoken over you and you believe them, that is agreement. And you have just given those words authority to come to pass in your life, okay? Numbers 23:23 says, "For there was no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel." If you understand this passage of Numbers 22 through 24, you understand that Balaam, who was supposed to be a prophet of God, was being induced by the kings of Moab and Midian, given a diviner's fee to curse Israel. And this, I was going to say Negro, he wasn't a Negro, but this man had the nerve to actually ask God, "Hey, can I curse your beloved people? Can I curse the apple of your eye, God?" And God was like, no, you can't. You cannot do it. And then the second time he went and they asked him, and God was like, "Yeah, do it." Now, y'all know good and well, okay, if you have a mother, if you have a wife, okay, girlfriend, some sort of female significant other, and you ask her if she's cool with something, and she says no, and you come back and you ask her again, and she says yes, she does not mean yes. She means you should be intelligent enough to know that you are not supposed to do that thing, that I am not supporting you doing that thing, but go ahead, try it, see what happens. I assure you it will not be a good outcome for you. And it was not a good outcome for Balaam, because as we know, he was riding his sweet little donkey, and the donkey beheld the angel of the Lord, sword drawn, ready to strike this man dead, because he disobeyed the Lord, and he didn't have any prophetic or common sense to know God doesn't actually want me to do this. Okay, but that's a different topic for a different day. A lot of topics to cover, people. Balaam discovered the hard way that he could not pronounce any curse against Israel because they were under God's protection. They were under his protection. His words were useless. However, Balaam was crafty. Joshua 13 says he died as a soothsayer. He was killed, okay? How do we know this? Because in Numbers 25, we see, and it doesn't say his name, but we know this was his doing, his influence, his hand was in this, because there were seductresses, women from Midian and Moab, who were sent to the camp of Israel because Balaam was smart enough to know, I can't curse Israel. There's no witchcraft, sorcery, divination, necromancy, nothing, no hex, no spell, no ritual I can do against the nation and the people of Israel. But if I induce them to sin and they agree with the sin, then God himself will have to judge them. Then they can open the door to a curse. And that's exactly what happened. The men were invited into sexual harlotry, which turned into spiritual harlotry, and a plague broke out in Israel. Okay? So that was agreement. They came into agreement with these seductresses. There was a woman named Cozbi, who was a Midianite woman, I believe, and she was with one of the men. And literally, when the plague hit, all of Israel was at the door of the tabernacle, sackcloth, ashes, weeping in repentance. this brazen man with this brazen hussy is sashaying in front of the nation, flaunting their fornication or adultery, whatever it was. And it was only when Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, took a javelin and ran them through. I know that's gruesome, but it's the truth anyhow. Only when he took the javelin and ran them both through and killed them did the plague end. Okay? It ended the agreement. That was the last harlot in the camp. That was the last man fornicating or adulterating in the camp at that particular time. The sin was ended, so the plague ended. So what have you come into agreement with? What words in your life have you consciously or unconsciously come into agreement with? How do you know you came into agreement with it? Because you believe it. Because your actions line up with it. Okay? What's in a word? Okay? What's in the word? Now we're going to talk about life and death for a little while. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So if you love death, you will eat the fruit of death. If you love life, you will eat the fruit of life. Why? Because if you love it, you're going to speak about it. No way you love something and you don't speak about it. 1 Peter 3:10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Okay? Perversion isn't just a sexual thing. Perversion, like seduction, is a massive enterprise of the enemy. Just imagine like the whole FBI building or something, a whole massive agency. Only one wing of that agency is sexual, okay? Only one wing of the whole operations of the spirit of seduction is sexual seduction. Only one wing in the operations of the spirit of perversion is sexual perversion, okay? You can have perversion of truth, perversion in belief systems, perversion in family structures, perversion in sex, perversion in education. You can have it all, okay? That's, again, different topic, different day. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. What you speak, you will live. You can literally live and die by your words. You know, we're mourning the death of Kobe Bryant right now and his baby girl Gianna and the 7 other individuals who were on that helicopter. And now it's coming to surface two particular things. First, there was a Comedy Central cartoon that was released some time ago. I don't know exactly when, but at some point it was released and it was illustrating the death of Kobe Bryant in a helicopter. So Comedy Central, whoever those particular writers were, wrote this and spoke this over the life of over the life of Kobe Bryant, okay? And they need to issue an apology. They really do. The other factor we're learning, and I forget who the gentleman was. I tried to go back on Instagram and find the actual video before I recorded this. But apparently, Kobe Bryant said, he spoke out of his mouth that he wanted to die young, that he was going to die young, be a legend. You know what I mean? And it's interesting because I was having different conversations with different people and they were like, yeah, I heard that too, but I don't really believe words have that much power. Oh, but they do. Oh, but they do. You don't believe me, and this isn't in my notes, you know, but when King Saul cursed the army, well, he didn't curse them, but he said, we're fasting, and pronounced a curse of death on anyone who ate food. Jonathan, who was part of the army but was not around when his father released those words, I think he ate some honey. He ate something. And they're like, oh man, you weren't supposed to eat that because your dad said that we're all fasting, which is stupid to make an army fast. I'm just being honest. But Saul was crazy, as we know. He was unstable in all of his ways, okay? But we know Jonathan died with Saul. He didn't have to, but he did, okay? Saul only pronounced death over him once and didn't even realize he was pronouncing it over his child. Another example, when Jacob and his wives, Rachel and Leah, and their 11 children are leaving and fleeing from Laban. They're fleeing Syria to go back to the land of their fathers, okay? And when Laban catches up to them, he's like, man, why'd you run off with my daughters and my grandbabies? I would have sent y'all off. I would have blessed you. I would have, you know, hugged you and kissed you, you know, whatever. But why did you have to steal my household idols? And Jake was like, I'm about sick of you, okay? You can go. Because he knew he didn't steal them and he thought nobody else stole them. He thought he was just accusing him of something else, which I'm sure Laban had done several times before, okay? He was a very dishonest man and ran in the family, okay? However, he didn't know his favorite wife, Rachel, stole the household gods. She pretended to be on her period and sat on her bag or satchel or whatever it was where the gods were hidden. But Jacob said, you know, whomever has the gods, let him die. Just let him die, okay? Rachel gets pregnant, gives birth to Benjamin, dies. Why? Because the words of an authority figure over your life matter. Jacob was her husband. Saul was Jonathan's father. Those were God-given positions of authority. Those positions matter. They only said the word once, but it came to pass. And it's not that there weren't other factors potentially, but they spoke that judgment just sort of rashly, you know, because Jacob was just annoyed by his father and he just didn't think that anybody actually stole them. Well, she died. She died. Okay, so words are powerful. You know, if we really understood the harvest of our words, we would not speak a lot of them. And if we really understood the harvest that words could bring, then we would start changing the words that we do speak to change the harvest that we see. Even idle words are dangerous. The words you speak are invitations in the spirit realm. So many things are just literally waiting on to manifest at your invitation, okay? So you don't have to believe in the spirit realm. You don't have to believe in all of that. It doesn't matter because the spirit realm, the laws on which it is built, were before the foundations of the world. Your opinion is irrelevant to how the spirit realm operates, okay? We have all spoken idle words or words we didn't understand at some point, but thankfully, we can cancel those words in the name of Jesus, and we'll get to that later. Next, we're talking about blessings and curses. James 3, 8 through 10. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have made it in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Just as life and death are in the power of the tongue, so are blessings and curses. And curses are not just crude, inappropriate words like the F word or the S word and different things like that, okay? They're words that literally invite spirits to cause you to fail. So there is cussing, okay, which is the slang version of cursing for curse words, okay? And then there's actually cursing people, okay? Speaking curses over people, speaking evil judgments, speaking evil things over people, hateful things over people. Okay, the word blessing basically means being empowered to prosper, and hopefully it's by God, okay? Being cursed, or a curse, I should say, is being empowered to fail. If you bless yourself and if you bless others, you will see it come to pass. In the same way, if you curse yourself and if you curse others, you will see it come to pass. Proverbs 13:2, A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. Your words are fruit, people. It's not fruit of the loom, it's fruit of your mouth. Now we're talking about binding and loosing. You may say, why are we talking about binding and loosing? Because we're getting really, really legal. Okay, we're getting specific. I like specificity, y'all. Matthew 18:18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I should have used the King James, y'all. There's just so much more oil on the King James. Matthew 16:19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And this is really where we get into the legalities of the spirit realm. This is governing the natural realm by the words we speak that stem from the spirit realm, that are backed up and enforced by the spirit realm, okay? So it's not that we weren't dealing with agreement and imitations before, we were, but now we're really dealing with specific legal terms in the spirit. So to bind is to prohibit and declare a thing illegal on earth as it already is in heaven. To loose a thing is to permit and declare a thing legal on the earth as it already is in heaven. So you don't get to say, I bind that man. Okay, that man is somebody else's husband. You don't get to bind someone else's husband to make him your husband. First of all, that's witchcraft. Okay, let's talk about that. You can't bind someone else's house to you. You can't bind someone else's car. I bind that to myself in the name of Jesus. The devil is a liar. We rebuke you. You're operating in a spirit of witchcraft. Okay, loose your whole devil. Okay. Similarly, you can't loose things that are not in alignment with heaven. So you can't loose someone else's wealth. I loose the wealth of Oprah into my life. No, that's Oprah's. Oprah worked her tail off for that, okay? Oprah manifested that in her life, okay? Good or bad, holy or demonic, she did it, okay? That's hers. That's her golden toilet, okay? So unless you work and get your own golden toilet or someone buys it for you, you can't have Oprah's, okay? You cannot loose someone else's husband or someone else's child or someone else's job into your life, okay? These are things that heaven has ordained for you. These are things that have already been established in heaven for you, for the situation, okay? So you can bind demons because they're already bound in heaven. Their power is already bound in because you have authority over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19, okay? You can't bind the devil, though. Yeah. You can't bind him. You can't bind him. And chances are most of y'all are not fighting him directly anyway because we're just not that important. The devil doesn't show up in most of our houses. He'll send a lesser demon. Maybe even a strong man. Maybe perhaps the prince. But it usually won't be the devil, okay? You don't want to invite warfare by binding the wrong spirits that are not even messing with you. They're like, who are you? Why would we mess with you? You're not even on our level, okay? Different topic, y'all. Again, go read my book, The Little Book of Warfare. I don't want to harp on this for a while, okay? But we have to bind and loose what is already bound or loosed, respectively, in heaven. Okay, we can't just bind willy-nilly and loose willy-nilly. It has to be in alignment with the word of God and with heaven. Okay, we use this language to specifically govern things in the spirit realm that will translate into the natural realm. That, you know, this is how we manifest as believers, as children of God, as sons and daughters of the Most High. This is manifestation 101, okay? On earth as it is in heaven. This is true manifestation, okay? Not let me get my candles and let me get my essential oils and let me get my crystals and let me set my intention. No. Okay? We do this according to the word and the will of God. okay? You can actually declare and decree things and try and loose things into your life. The God is saying, I want that for you, but not this month, not this week, not this season. And I know that may be difficult for us, but that's why you can't just always just pray for what somebody else has, because God is like, but you're on a different timeline. You're in a different place. It would not behoove you to have that right now. You may destroy it if I give it to you right now. So this is why it's so keen or important for us to be in tune with what the Spirit is saying, not only to the churches, but to us specifically, to us for our marriage, to us for our family, to us in our lives in general, okay? Moving forward, breaking agreement. This is so important, okay? So we've all spoken stupid, idle, thoughtless, hurtful, hateful, curse-filled words that we regret or probably should regret, okay? Similarly, many others, including authority figures, have spoken stupid, idle, thoughtless, hurtful, hateful, curse-filled words that have done us damage or harm or are just waiting for an opportunity to come to pass in our life. But these words do not have to prosper. And no, I am not contradicting myself, okay? Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Okay. If I'm dealing with witchcraft, if I'm dealing with evil judgments that have been, or I can presume very well have likely been spoken against me, I'm going here. Okay. I am canceling your arrows, enemy. Okay, because our words are like arrows. The more modern version would be bullets. Your words are like arrows and bullets in the spirit. Your prayers are arrows of deliverance, arrows of healing, arrows of joy. Whatever you're praying, you're sending an arrow. When you go to target practice or to the shooting range, you're shooting at a specific target. You have a aim, an end goal in mind. That is the nature of our words. So we can divert, we can cancel, we can reject those things, okay? So when hellish words are spoken against you, even if you were the one who spoke them, those words must be renounced. They must be canceled and rejected out loud. Use your mouth, people, in the name of Jesus. Again, the spirit realm does not respond to our thoughts. It responds to our words, okay? This breaks your legal agreement with the words and the power behind them, the spirits behind them. So here are some guidelines, okay? If a non-authority figure, so someone who's not a dad, not a teacher, not a mentor, not a significant other, not a president, you know, someone who's not in a position of authority, if they speak words, simply just do not come into agreement with those words, okay? This is someone who's not important to you. Do not come into agreement with those words. If an authority figure spoke those words, then you cancel and reject them out loud. In certain instances, it's appropriate to say it to the person, you know, don't be disrespectful now. But you can cancel and reject those words. Sometimes you have to go back to your secret place, to your car, to the bathroom, under your breath, back at your desk, at work or school, and you have to cancel and reject those words out loud, okay? If you spoke the words, cancel and reject them out loud. Use your mouth to govern your environment, to govern your life, to govern what is allowed to formulate and manifest tangibly in your life, okay? This is possible. I posted the other day on social media, you know, that the power in their witchcraft is your agreement. The power in their witchcraft is your agreement. So it's not that Satan doesn't have power, he does. It's not that witchcraft doesn't have power, he does. But we have to balance this with the word of God that says there's no sorcery or divination against Jacob. Switch out Jacob, put your name in it, okay? So if you are not in agreement with those words, they do not have permission to come to pass in your life. If you do not believe the words because your belief, your faith, is your agreement. If you are afraid of the words, then that means you are in agreement with the words. That may sound contradictory, but if you fear them, obviously you believe they're true. So if you believe the words are true, that is your agreement. So you need to break your agreement. That's why if a witch says something over you, and I've seen this happen to friends of mine, someone I'm going to be having on next week, a dear brother of mine, we exited the same ministry within months of each other. Those ministers who are over that ministry said, you're going to lose your house and your ministry in 90 days. The devil is a liar. They went live on the 91st day to show how good God is and how much of a mighty deliverer he is, because they're still in their house and they still have a church that's growing and maturing in God. Their words had no power because they did not give them any power. There were no open doors that served as invitations or broken hedges through which the curse could filter, okay? No windows, no footholds, no cracks, nothing like that, okay? So also this applies to words from family members like parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, you know, elder siblings perhaps who helped raise you, okay? And those would be different types of authority figures, okay? This applies to words from educators, administrators, counselors, words from spiritual leaders such as pastors, spiritual parents, mentors, cell group leaders, discipleship leaders. This applies to words from professional leaders such as bosses, supervisors, and mentors. This applies to words from spouses, significant others, friends, acquaintances, and peers. People who you've permitted to speak in your life on some level. This applies to words from your waking life as well as your dream life, okay? And we'll throw visitations in there as well. This applies to jokes. This applies to snarky, condescending, belittling, demeaning comments. I told one of my girlfriends years ago, I was like, I don't like your best friend. And I knew the girl. We all went to college together. I was like, I don't like her. I don't like her for you. Why? Because she's always joking. Oh, you're so stupid. Oh, you're so, just always insulting her. And like, that was like the regular repertoire that they had. And they're still friends to this day. And I'm just like, why? Like, why? This girl's no good for you. Like, there's a friend who constantly puts you down is not a friend. There's this popular fad, hopefully not amongst believers, but amongst certain types of women where they'll call each other the B word. If you greet me with the B word, we're not friends, and you might catch some hands, okay? If I'm not feeling too sanctified in that moment. I'm not a fighter. But I don't know the last time when someone called me a B-word either, okay? So that is not a friendly thing to do, okay? That is not someone who loves you or is being loving in that moment to you, okay? So jokes, snarky, condescending, belittling, demeaning comments. Judgments, evil judgments. This applies to prophecies. This applies to prophylize. This applies to curses. This applies to slander and character assassination. This applies to reports and assessments, whether it's academic, whether it's professional, ministerial, I don't know, whatever the situation is. This applies to inner vows, where you said, I'll never let somebody do this like me. And we should probably do a whole teaching on inner vows. But when you make an inner vow, the Holy Spirit is not empowering you to say that. That's your soul, okay? So there's another spirit that's going to come in and try to enforce that. But the problem is you almost always wind up fulfilling what you said you would not do. I'll never be like my parents, but you're the spitting image of them in your actions and in your character, how you treat your kids, how you discipline your kids in your anger, okay? I'll never do X, Y, Z. I'll never date a person like that again. Okay. Now, there's wisdom and there's a difference between putting boundaries in place and then making an inner vow in your soul, okay? Again, we got to cover that in a separate teaching. This applies to oaths and pledges. So like if you pledge for a fraternity or sorority, yes, I'm coming for y'all, okay? If you pledge for some sort of secret organization, Masons, Mormons, which involves a lot of masonry because they just steal from a lot of other religions, okay? Any sort of top secret whatever society, Luciferians, Illuminati, all these other things that are not as well known of, any of those things need to be canceled. If you made an oath or a pledge to a person that you should not have had a soul tie with or that type of relationship with, that needs to be dealt with. This applies to unbiblical statements of faith, perhaps that you made when you joined a cult or a fringe group or something like that. Any words that do not reflect God's truth over your life, this applies to that. You need to cancel and renounce and reject those words out loud. Not always necessarily to the person, depending that you have to use your discernment for that. But you definitely have to do it out loud, at least in your private time with God, okay? Even if the unpleasant words are true, you do not have to come into agreement with them and allow them to remain in your life. They could say, you beat somebody down yesterday, you're a bully. Maybe you were bullying someone and you probably need to repent for that, but that doesn't mean you have to remain a bully, okay? So we're not negating what happened. Maybe someone called you fat. Maybe you are fat. That hurts, but you don't have to stay fat. Maybe someone said, you know, teachers, unfortunately, could be guilty of this. You know, your child is stupid. Your child is never going to succeed. I heard one of the videos, I think, Kobe Bryant saying that his counselor, some academic individual, saying, oh, you don't need to go into sports. It's a waste of time. Well, I bet you they're eating their words now and probably crying tears somewhere, okay? You know, so you do not have to come into agreement with those words, okay? You can use those words to challenge yourself. Okay, well, I'm going to be better at XYZ. Okay, if I'm overweight, if I'm obese, okay, well, I'm going to work out. Okay, you know, you do not have to allow those words to continue to be your reality. So watch your words. Psalm 141:3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And sometimes I go through seasons where I really just have to pray that over and over, like on a momentary, not even a daily basis, y'all, a momentary basis. I need the O every hour to set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Because y'all know, y'all already know. Okay, so reflection and application. What are some evil, hurtful, thoughtless words that have been spoken over you? What are some bad words that you've spoken over yourself? What are some unholy vows, oaths, and promises you've made? And what are some demonic, soulish, or fleshly, quote-unquote, prophecies, aka prophylies, that have been spoken over you in your waking or dream life? These words need to be canceled and rejected, and if necessary, renounced out loud, okay? Out loud. Say it so the enemy can hear you. Like they say at Apostle Meadows Church, say it with your chest, okay? Say it like you mean it, because you should and you do, and say it until you do believe it, okay? So in closing, I want to thank you guys for listening. Y'all are awesome. This has been episode 4. I plan on coming with a lot of amazing content, and it will not just always be me for a full hour that you're listening to. Next week, we're going to be releasing our first interview. So excited about that. Very, very excited. But thank you for listening. Please connect with me. You can go to DesireeAmondesir.com and sign up as a subscriber for my email blast. I really send very infrequent e-blasts, y'all. So go sign up there. You'll get one of my ebooks for free, and I have a lot of resources there. Contact me if this resonated with you. You know, this is still the beginning of the year. It's the end of the first month of 2020. You know, if you're not going to change your words, you know, if you haven't in the past, now is the time to do it, okay? Now is the operative time for you to shift how you are speaking, okay? And shift your paradigm so you can reshape your words. Share this in your timeline on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, you know, whatever the young kids are using these days, okay? Share this with somebody that you think it will bless. And then favorite and subscribe my podcast and visit my bookstore at DesireeAmonester.com. I've got 15 books. I've got teleseminars and workshops there you guys can glean from, learn from, and hopefully in the future we'll have some new stuff coming out soon. But I love you. Favorite, subscribe, follow, and take care, okay? Be blessed. Until next week. Bye-bye.